we want you to know about those. So we're going to talk about the distributions of the abdomen and pelvic nerves, and the specific parts of those that are the autonomics, and an idea of what those are doing. So this should look kind of familiar. What's this stuff right here? Yes, brachial plexus. It's a somatic nerve plexus from first block, right? It took a while to learn it. Anybody have trouble seeing those nerves? I mean, they were hard to learn kind of the sorting pattern, but were they hard to find? Yeah, not really. How about these guys here? We saw these in our last block. Right? Not too hard to find, right? Those intercostal nerves. Now, there wasn't a plexus of those big nerves, but they were pretty easy to see. So all of these things, what they have in common is that they're all somatic nerves. So if we were to have picked any one of those parts of the brachial plexus before they form the terminal branches, or one of those intercostal nerves, and ask you what's in it, what kind of fiber type's in it, you would say, okay, well, I know that all of those are going out to skeletal muscle, and I know that they have branches that are going to go to skin, and so all of those big guys have the same three fiber types: somatic motor, which is going to innervate the skeletal muscle cells and cause contraction; somatic sensory, which is going to have in the branches into the muscles feedback from those muscles, and collecting sensation from cutaneous branches from the skin. And all of those nerves are going to have sympathetic postganglionics in them, at least for the blood vessels. And if they're going out to skin, there are other targets in the skin that need sympathetic innervation. So all of the big, easy-to-see nerves have those three fiber types in them until they form cutaneous or muscular branches. What's this thing over here? Right? Sympathetic chain. So sympathetic chain is something that we've seen in a bunch of different places. As we're in the abdomen and the pelvis, we're going to ask you to be looking for the sympathetic chain as well. It runs the entire length of the vertebral column from C1 up at the top where we had the SCG all the way down to the bottom of the coccyx. So we're going to look for the sympathetic chain, and I'll be showing you some pictures of it today. So in last block, we saw or talked about at least some autonomic plexuses. And the main one that we saw was the esophageal plexus. And we know that an autonomic plexus is a not-so-easy-to-see tangle of nerves. The nerves are much smaller, and they come from different sources. So the autonomic plexus that was on the esophagus came from two different sources. The vagus nerves, which came down the neck, fed into that esophageal plexus. And then there were things coming off the sympathetic chain that we called cervical and thoracic splanchnics that fed into there. We didn't ask you to find them. They're easy to see in schematic diagrams like this. Really hard to kind of dig through and be able to see things coming off the sympathetic chain running medially straight up to those organs. So that was an autonomic plexus. And there were other autonomic plexuses for the heart. There's a cardiac plexus. For the lungs, there's a pulmonary plexus. Again, those were really hard to see. But I think most people, when they were looking at that left vagus nerve coming around and sending that offshoot that was the left recurrent laryngeal nerve, that there were some other branches of the vagus that seemed to kind of, you know, be heading towards the heart or towards the primary bronchi, heading to the lungs. And those were carrying those vagal fibers to there. So there are autonomic plexuses all over, but they're really hard to see. So that's going to be true for when we're looking at things in the abdomen and the pelvis as well. What kind of fiber types are on every autonomic plexus, though? They're going to be sympathetic postganglionic fibers as they're distributing to the organs. At least in these, all of the sympathetic fibers had already synapsed in the chain and were distributing directly to the organs as postganglionic. And we'll see a modification of that for the abdomen. And then all of the fibers from the parasympathetic system were all distributed by the vagus nerve in the chest, and those are all preganglionics, right? All of the vagal parasympathetic fibers are preganglionic. The postganglionic fibers, or the targets of the vagus nerve, are in the walls of the organ. So here's what we're going to talk about now, which is all of these other organs, all the ones at the top of the picture we did in last block, the heart, the lungs, the smooth muscle gland stuff in the head. We talked about all of that last time. So now we're going to look at two sets of organs, the ones that are in the abdomen and the ones that are down in the pelvis. And we're going to look at two different sets of two plexuses, one for the abdomen and one for the pelvis. So what are these nerves called? What's that group of nerves called? So lumbar plexus, hopefully everybody recognizes that. Were they hard to see? It might have been kind of hard to figure out or hard to clean out, but you know, most of these were pretty big, decent-sized nerves, not that hard to see. A couple of the smaller branches, like the ilioinguinal and iliohypogastric, maybe not so easy to see on the body wall, but back here where they're coming out of the plexus, all of those guys are you know, the same size as the intercostal nerves pretty much. So really easy to see. And certainly the big branches that are running along the psoas, the obturator nerve and the femoral nerve, very, very easy to see. So these guys are going to be somatic nerves. Because what do these guys innervate? Well, here's a chart that kind of sums up what all of those innervate. But what I want to point out for this, because you've learned where all of these things are going already, they're somatic nerves. And so the targets of all somatic nerves are skeletal muscle. And so if you look at what the skeletal muscles are, they're skeletal muscles of the anterior abdominal wall. They're skeletal muscles in the thigh for the femoral nerve and the obturator nerve. There are skeletal muscle nerves that are being innervated by the genitofemoral nerve. Its genital branch is innervating the cremaster muscle. Remember, that's derived from the internal oblique, so that's skeletal muscle as well. So skeletal muscle targets, and then there are cutaneous targets, because some of these are going out to skin, so the lateral femoral cutaneous nerve, some of the femoral branches. So the nerves that are going to the abdominal wall are doing the skin of the abdominal wall in addition to the skeletal muscle, areas of skeletal muscle in the abdominal wall. And every cutaneous nerve doesn't just have somatic sensory in it, it also has sympathetics. So somehow sympathetics had to get into all of these nerves, just like sympathetics had to get into those intercostal nerves that we saw in the last block. None of these branches carry any parasympathetics because they're going out to skeletal muscle and skin. And remember, no parasympathetics ever go out to those targets. So here's the sympathetic chain. This is a lovely schematic of the sympathetic chain showing you that they really do extend the entire length of the vertebral column all the way down to the coccyx. And right at the bottom of the sacrum, both left and right sympathetic chains kind of head toward the midline and kind of meet at a little tiny ganglia right at the bottom. So that's where both chains meet at the midline, at the very bottom, down at the coccyx. And since you're going to bisect down there, you're not going to be able to see that because you're going to be cutting right through it. So here's the very sort of complicated red book picture. I do recommend just, you know, color coding in these fibers because they're hard to look at in black and white where they're dots and dashes. But let's just review how sympathetics got out to all of those nerves of the lumbar plexus. So here's if we're at L1 or L2, and remember that sometimes when they talk about the sympathetic preganglionic cell column in the spinal cord, we say it goes from T1 to L2, maybe L3. So textbooks are like plus or minus that L3. That's not important for us. We'll go with L2 just because that's sort of the convention that we've given you. So anywhere along from T1 to L2, you would see this, sympathetic preganglionics in the lateral horn of the gray matter, coming out the ventral root, into the spinal nerve, taking the ventral ramus, taking a white ramus communicans to get into the chain, synapsing on postganglionic sympathetic neurons in the chain, coming back out via a gray ramus communicans to rejoin that ventral ramus. So that's true of all of these lumbar, all of the nerves that we saw in the thorax. And for L1 and L2, this is the pattern. So all of these are distributing these ventral rami or what are going out to skeletal muscles, and the sympathetics are going to the blood vessels in those skeletal muscles. And then the cutaneous branches of the ventral rami are going to skin, and you need sympathetics for the erector pili muscles, the sweat glands, and the blood vessels in the skin. So all of that should be familiar because we've been seeing it from the very first part of this course, from when we looked at our first nerves distributing out. Now, if we're a little bit lower, so any place L3, L4, anywhere else in the abdominal compartment or in the pelvis, all of the sympathetics had to already get into the chain from L1, L2. So they went into the chain at L1 or L2 and then descended in the chain to L3 or L4 or L5 or S1, 2, 3. They descended in the chain before they synapsed on the postganglionic cells. So they came out, though, via gray rami communicans and back to those ventral rami. So all of the ventral rami that you're going to see are going to have sympathetics going into them via gray rami communicans. So here's a picture. Turn this 90 degrees. So here's the vertebral column here. So this is posterior at the bottom of the picture. Here's anterior, and you can see the abdominal aorta sitting on top of the vertebral bodies here. This is the pelvis. This is the abdomen at the left of the picture. And here's your sympathetic chain running alongside the vertebral bodies on one side. So we're looking off on one side. And notice that here's the sympathetic chain, and it's sending communications up towards the aorta. These would be lumbar splanchnic nerves. They're coming directly off the sympathetic chain and going medially up towards where the organs are. And then you have communications between the sympathetic chain and these ventral rami that are popping out the intervertebral foramina. And I want to point out that when you look at the communications between the sympathetic chain and those ventral rami, it's a little bit different whether you're looking at L2 versus L3, 4, or 5. Now, how did I know that that was L2, 3, 4, or 5? You were going to be bisecting doing a hemisection, so a mid-sagittal cut through your cadaver. And so this is kind of the view that you're going to have. And one of the things I recommend that you get familiar with is being able to count backwards. So find the sacrum down in the pelvis and then count backwards on your vertebra, because we know that there's 5 lumbar vertebra. The sacrum's pretty easy to find. And on most bodies, not everyone, but on most, it's really easy to see the intervertebral discs as kind of white stripes. So this is going to be the L5 vertebra, the L4, the L3, the L2, and that's how you'll be able to count the ventral rami. So this would be the L5, the L4, the L3, the L2 ventral ramus. So notice at L2, there's 2 communications between the sympathetic chain and that ventral ramus. There's a white ramus communicans carrying sympathetic preganglionics from the ventral ramus into the chain, and a gray ramus coming back to it. But at L3, L4, and L5, notice that there are only gray rami communicans coming for those. So these are totally taggable on your body. So if you haven't found your sympathetic chain along here, it's one of the things you're going to want to do today or in the Monday, Tuesday dissections. Make sure that you can recognize communications between the sympathetic chain and those ventral rami. Good? And so what do all of those nerves do? Well, that's our lumbar plexus, and we know they're going to all of these different kinds of skeletal muscles, including those in the limbs themselves. And then there are the dermatomes, and so you should know and be familiar with the fact that, like L1, we talked about going right along the brim of the pelvis, with the iliohypogastric going just above the pelvic brim, right above the pubis, and the ilioinguinal coming down just below it. So that's about where L1 is. T10 is usually defined as being right around the umbilicus. So you don't need to know. We're not going to pick like a random patch of skin and ask you what dermatome that belongs to you. But you should have a general idea of where some of the major dermatomes are. Okay, so when we talk about the autonomic plexuses, remember we're talking about tangles of very hard to see sympathetic and parasympathetic nerves. So in the abdomen, this is what it looked like. And we call this the prevertebral plexus. It's a whole bunch of stuff that sits on the abdominal aorta. So there's a whole bunch of names for it, but the prevertebral plexus is the main way that we talk about it in the Red Book. And this is the complex of stuff that when you were dissecting the GI tract, we asked you to be kind of careful about not cleaning off the aorta, because you would have cleaned off the entire plexus when you did that. So what it consists of is a bunch of ganglia and some nerves that you can't distinguish little tiny branches that are kind of going all over the place and really hard to figure out who's who. So we're not going to pick up a little teeny tiny branch of one of that, you know, one little part of that plexus and ask you what's in that branch. Okay, so don't worry about seeing that kind of thing. But we do want you to get organized and be able to recognize that on either side of the vertebral column, you've got your sympathetic chains coming through. And then you've got these big wads of stuff that look kind of like pieces of old chewing gum that somebody stuck along, especially prominent around the celiac trunk and the stumps of the celiac trunk now, and the stump of the superior mesenteric artery. A little bit harder to see that there are also ones a little further down at the base of the inferior mesenteric artery. And then remember that the vagal trunks came through with the esophagus onto the stomach there. So you have sympathetic axons that are going to be associated with the sympathetic chain. You're going to have parasympathetic axons from the vagus, and you're going to have these big ganglia that lie around the, especially prominent, where we're going to tag them, around the celiac and superior mesenteric stumps. So it's a network of ganglia and a network of autonomic nerves. The ganglia contain sympathetic postganglionic axons, right? And the names for those ganglia, different people use different terms. Dr. Henley often calls those the collateral ganglia. Some books call them the aortic ganglia because they're pasted down to the aorta. Some textbooks kind of break them up into three functional clusters called the celiac ganglia, the superior mesenteric, and the inferior mesenteric around the base of the arteries. We're just going to call this whole complex up around the celiac trunk and superior mesenteric the celiac ganglion complex. Okay? And what does that look like? I think it looks kind of like this on yours. These big kind of amorphous kind of wads, and they form they're interconnected clumps of material, and they look a little bit different on everybody, so there's not like, you can't draw the ganglia, because the neural crest cells that migrated here and formed these sympathetic ganglia formed, you know, just variable size clusters. There's as much variability to these as there was with the SCG when you looked at that at the top of the sympathetic chain. Some SCGs were like a big, you know, ball of cells. Some were a really elongated column. But basically, these things are pretty easy to see once you've got everything else cleared off. And then there's like all kinds of fibers interconnecting these. So those are nerves, and those are all of the nerves that are kind of associated with this whole plexus. And so when we ask what kind of fibers are in that plexus, besides the ganglia, what kind of fibers are in that plexus? The answer is sympathetic and parasympathetic, because this is an autonomic plexus. The sympathetic fibers come from two sources. The main one we want you to think about is the fibers that came off the chain in the thorax as the greater, lesser, and least splanchnic nerves. And remember, those were sympathetic preganglionic axons. They came out at the thoracic level into the chain and went right through it again without synapsing in the chain. And they headed for the diaphragm and went underneath and into the abdominal compartment, and this is where they're going to synapse. So the greater splanchnic nerve synapses, those axons synapse in the ganglia of the celiac ganglion complex. Now, to be fair and to be complete, there are also a few sympathetic fibers that are postganglionic already that don't need to synapse. Some of those came through on the vagal trunks from the esophageal plexus, so they just streamed down into here straight from the esophagus. So they've already synapsed. They don't need to synapse again. And there are a few sympathetic postganglionics that are coming off the lumbar chain here and going into here that don't need to synapse. But the main ones we want you to think about are the ones from the greater, lesser, and least splanchnic nerves. So they will use these celiac ganglion cells to synapse. So where do those come from? So again, here at the thoracic level, here we had sympathetic preganglionics coming out, going into the chain on white rami communicans, going into the ganglion saying, there's nobody here I want to synapse on, and coming right back out without synapsing and heading out to form the greater, lesser, and least splanchnic nerves. And remember, the greater splanchnic nerve was T5 to T9. T10 and T11 nerves formed their own lesser splanchnic nerve, and T12 was the least splanchnic nerve. We didn't ask you to see these because they were buried kind of on where you dissected, on that right side, buried under where the liver had totally pushed the diaphragm up, obscuring them. But you should be able to see a greater splanchnic nerve, certainly on the right side, by now maybe on the left side, and follow it going to the celiac ganglion complex. So these are preganglionic axons and therefore have to synapse in a ganglion somewhere. And those ganglia are the celiac ganglion complex. So this was the picture that we talked about when we looked at the formation of the greater splanchnic nerve from the sympathetic chain in the thorax. So the ganglia, we said, are going to contain the sympathetic postganglionic axons. And then for the GI system, these axons are going to communicate with the enteric ganglia and will regulate blood flow on the major arteries to there. So Dr. Ma talked to you about how that works. So the vagus brings parasympathetic fibers into here. But you also know that the vagus has something else on it, and that is visceral sensory fibers. So Dr. Ma talked to you a lot about how in the GI system, there are sensations collected from the GI system. We call it visceral sensory, that are sent up through the vagus nerve up to a digestive center in the brainstem that you'll learn about in neuroscience that integrates that information and then sends information back down the parasympathetics of the vagus nerve. So those are the long loop systems that Dr. Ma talked to you about. So the vagus nerve, where the vagus fiber is contributing to this plexus, the vagus nerve is not going to use these ganglia, but it's streaming through the plexus and going out to the GI organs. But those vagal fibers are both visceral sensory and parasympathetics. When we're talking autonomics, we're only talking about the parasympathetic portion, but remember the vagus is also carrying significant visceral sensory information. So here's your summary. Yeah, Cody. So the vagus nerve is predominantly associated with the foregut and the midgut, right? It may be going over and doing some of a little bit more of the descending colon, but you want to think it mostly foregut and midgut, and then the lower portion of the hindgut portion being done by the sacral. So it's not that there aren't parasympathetics there. They're just coming up from the sacral level, okay? So here's your summary. So here's just a quick summary slide, so make sure you know all this. There are ganglia that contain sympathetic postganglionics. There are sympathetic preganglionic and a few sympathetic postganglionic fibers in this tangle. There are parasympathetic preganglionics from the vagus, and there are also visceral sensory fibers. And so in this tangle, we will never pick up one of these little tiny threads and ask you what's on that. You should understand that the plexus as a whole is a complex tangle of nerves. So what happens to these? Well, every single branch of the three major arteries that are heading off the aorta and going out to the GI tract are carrying those. So here's the distribution of the celiac trunk. And this, I think, for those people that dissected the celiac trunk, that for the half the class that did that dissection, you saw that there was just this mass of tissue that was on the artery as it sent all its branches off. That stuff that you cleaned off was where all of these sympathetic and parasympathetic nerves were traveling. So on those arteries, there were the sympathetic postganglionics, all sympathetic postganglionics, and parasympathetic preganglionics and visceral sensory fibers. But they were in this dense connective tissue mass that you peeled off the artery to get down to the nice smooth artery wall. So that's true for the celiac trunk. That's also true for the distribution of the superior mesenteric. All of these branches also carried sympathetic postganglionic, parasympathetic preganglionics of the vagus, and visceral sensory of the vagus. Now, the last part, the inferior mesenteric, may have some overlap with the vagus as it's sort of transitioning from midgut to hindgut, but most of the, certainly the lower part of the GI tract, the parasympathetic innervation from that is coming from the sacral level, S2, 3, 4. So the sacral ventral rami, S2, 3, and 4, carry parasympathetics out that distribute to organs in the pelvis, and that includes the distal end of the GI tract. But the sympathetic fibers to here are coming from that plexus that lies along the aorta, right? So that prevertebral plexus. And the part that's inside the pelvis is also going to have sympathetics that are coming off of the sympathetic chain in the pelvis. So that's what we're going to talk about next. What's going on in the pelvis and how do we get autonomics in there? So this is just a kind of a summary to remind you that all of the fibers that are going out here and distributing to these organs are going to have sympathetic and parasympathetic fibers both. With one important exception, the sympathetics are going to be postganglionic. And that exception is the adrenal gland. Its adrenal medulla, remember, has a set of neural crest cells that release epinephrine and a little bit of norepinephrine into the bloodstream. And that adrenal medulla, those cells are similar to sympathetic postganglionic neurons. They're not neurons, they're gland cells. But they're just like sympathetic cells that never grew an axon. So those endocrine cells of the adrenal medulla receive sympathetic preganglionic axons. All of the other organs get sympathetic postganglionic. Yes, yes. So physiologists break the complex of ganglia along the aorta into ones around the celiac stump, around the superior mesenteric, and around the inferior mesenteric. We're not going to do that. And when you look at it anatomically, especially given how close the celiac trunk and the superior mesenteric trunk are as they come off of the aorta, it's really hard to pick any one of those ganglia and say, oh, that's definitely a celiac ganglion versus a superior mesenteric. So we just call, for simplicity, the whole thing the celiac ganglion complex. Okay, so just to remind you of something that Dr. Ma mentioned. For when we did autonomics earlier in this course, we talked about preganglionics going to a postganglionic and synapsing, and then that cell going to smooth muscle, cardiac muscle, or gland cell. Preganglionics synapsing on postganglionics that synapsed on target cells. And so the autonomic ganglion there was really serving just as a simple relay. It was just sending the information on. Dr. Ma told you that when you look at the relationship between these prevertebral ganglia and the enteric ganglia, the parasympathetic preganglionics are going in and talking either directly to cells in the GI tract or indirectly through some of the cells associated with the plexi, and the sympathetic ones that are relaying through the prevertebral ganglion, there are communications between the prevertebral ganglia, in other words, these sympathetic ganglia, and the enteric ganglia. So there's crosstalk between those two. So these sympathetic prevertebral ganglia are not simple relays. That's what Dr. Ma told you. They are really functioning as part of this integrative system with the enteric ganglia. Okay? So they're not just simple relays anymore. Okay, so let's talk pelvis. So you are going to be dissecting the pelvis over these last two dissections. So you're going to be looking at the organs inside the pelvis today, and then both halves of the class are going to get a chance to dissect the vessels and nerves of the pelvis. So here's a pelvis with the organs removed, so you're not going to see it looking quite like this, but you're going to look at the muscles of the pelvic floor, and you're going to look at these nerves and be able to figure out which nerves are which. But is it hard to see these? Does anybody not see these nerves? And then see these big yellow guys in the picture? I don't know. Would you guess that these are going to be somatic or autonomic? So this is a somatic plexus, right? These are all big, easy-to-see nerves. This somatic plexus is the sacral plexus. So here's what it's going to look like from the inside. This is what you're going to be dissecting Monday and Tuesday. This is the sacrum right here. And notice that you've got nerves coming out these holes in the front of the sacrum. The holes are called anterior sacral foramina, and there are ventral rami coming out of those holes. And they're going to form a complex of nerves that you already know the names of, or you did once, and you'll probably just want to review those. But those are the guys that came out, the greater sciatic foramen on the back. When we looked at the innervation of the structures of the lower limb, those were the nerves that came out. Superior gluteal nerve, inferior gluteal nerve, sciatic nerve, a bunch of other little guys. And those were all the nerves that we asked you to find and learn about and understand what they did. This is where they form from the as they come out of the vertebral column. So you're just looking at that plexus from the inside this time. But they're all really big nerves, and you're not going to have a hard time seeing them. May have, like all plexuses, you may have a hard time figuring out who's who, but it isn't going to be hard to see them. They're big. So it's a somatic plexus. Now, the autonomics, you might guess, are going to be hard to see. And I want to point out something that Dr. Ma mentioned when he was talking about the GI tract specifically, but it's true down here as well, and that is these are fine, dainty, sympathetic and parasympathetic axons that form these plexuses. And that was true for the GI system, and it's going to be true for here. These plexuses are fussy. Remember him saying that all they have to do in a rat is, like, open up the abdomen and, like, flop the GI tract around and you get ileus for a little bit, right? In other words, the GI tract stops passing food. It kind of, like, spasms. It's unhappy when you dink around with these plexuses and disturb them. That's very true, okay? So, but this plexus down here is called the pelvic plexus, right? It's inside the pelvis. It's a plexus of autonomic nerves, and so we want to figure out what that plexus is doing. Now, there aren't any ganglia in the plexus itself, but there are plenty of ganglia nearby. There are sympathetics that are coming down in the sympathetic chain. So here's the sympathetic chain. Notice it's running at roughly 90 degrees to the ventral rami, these big white stripes that you see coming out of the sacrum. So the sympathetic chain ganglia are there, right? And they would be sending out sympathetic fibers to the structures here and to join those nerves. So we'll talk about those. And we know that in the walls of these organs down here, there are going to be ganglia for parasympathetics to synapse. Remember, parasympathetic synapse in the walls of the organs on those terminal ganglia. So what is this autonomic plexus doing? What all autonomic fibers do eventually? Smooth muscle, cardiac muscle, and glands. But since there's no cardiac muscle down in your pelvis, it's just smooth muscle and glands. So here's what it's going to look like next week, Monday and Tuesday, when you get this dissection done. So here you're seeing a bunch of big nerves. I think you can see that there's some pretty big nerves there. And then here's the sympathetic chain running this way. And you're going to see, like, communications between the sympathetic chain and these nerves. And this picture doesn't have organs in it like this, but you're also going to want to look for communications between these nerves, the sympathetic chain, and these organs. Now, this is the part I want to warn you about before you get up to lab today and start moving stuff around and exploring too much in the pelvis. And that is, we sometimes go to help you with the table and try to find some of the things we want you to look for, and everything has been stripped away. You know, we say, well, what happened to this? And, you know, people just kind of look down and say, you know, like a puppy that peed on the rug, mistakes were made. So let's not make a mistake. And I just want to point out, just to flag something for you, you're going to be exploring the organs in the pelvis. This is a female pelvis, but notice here's the last vertebra, and here's the sacrum right here. Here's the bottom of the sigmoid colon turning into the rectum in here, kind of nestled right up against that posterior wall. And notice there's like some stuff in between the vertebral column in there. Here's the TA body, and so I snapped this picture this morning. And so here's this little anal opening here. Here's the anal canal here. Here's the rectum here coming up against, here's the curvature of the sacrum. So here's the rectum, and I'm sort of pulling it forward. Do you see all of this tissue here, this sort of connective tissue stuff in here? If you go through and you just strip that all the way down to here so it's not connected anymore, you won't be able to see the sympathetic and parasympathetic nerves, okay? If you just totally free up all of that connective tissue. Because if we go back and we look at this picture, all of this tangle of autonomic nerves are jumping into those connective tissues to get to the organ walls. And if you strip away all of that connective tissue just to clean everything up, it's kind of like cleaning off the surface of the esophagus. I know some of you did an oops when you did the esophagus. You made it look really pretty, but there was no esophageal plexus left. The same will be true here. If you strip away all of the connective tissues around around the back here, you're not going to get to see connections into those organs. You won't get to see much in the way of sympathetic and parasympathetics. So where do all of these come from? Well, there are some sympathetics that come into this plexus. Remember, it's an autonomic plexus, which means sympathetics and parasympathetics both. Sympathetics come from two sources. Some of them stream down from the prevertebral plexus, and they come down and sort of coalesce into a bundle on each side, and those are called hypogastric nerves. So you may or may not see these. They can be a little challenging to see sometimes as you're stripping off the membranes that are sort of obscuring these from you right now. But there are sympathetic postganglionic fibers that are just continuing down from there. It's not really all that different from sympathetics that we said were on the esophageal plexus that kind of came through with the vagal trunks into the abdomen. They just kind of continued straight on down. So these hypogastric nerves are kind of coalescing from the prevertebral plexus and dropping down into the pelvis. So that's one source of sympathetic fibers. The other source of sympathetic fibers are coming off the sympathetic chain. So here's the sympathetic chain down in the pelvis. And you can see these fibers that are going to come off and go into the plexus here. Now, the plexus is often in textbooks called the inferior hypogastric plexus. We usually just refer to it as the pelvic plexus here, going to the distributing to the pelvic organs here. But there are going to be sympathetic fibers coming off the sympathetic chain and going into that plexus to distribute to organs. Those will not be gray rami communicans because they're going to organs, and branches of the sympathetics going to organs are called splanchnic nerves. Since these are coming from sacral ganglia, they are called sacral splanchnic nerves. Now, there's another term that you're going to see called pelvic splanchnic nerves. And pelvic splanchnic nerves are different. Pelvic splanchnic nerves are parasympathetic preganglionic axons. So here's a picture showing you, this is the sacrum, and here's S1 marked for you. That's the S1 ventral ramus coming out the top hole in the sacrum. So this would be S2 right below it, S3 right below it, S4 below that. So these are ventral rami, and the big guys, they're going down and forming that great big sacral plexus, the somatic plexus that's going to form all of those nerves to the lower extremity. But you will see branches leaving those ventral rami of S2, S3, and S4 and heading towards the organ walls. And that is called a pelvic splanchnic nerve. I totally get that this is really confusing terminology. So sacral splanchnics are in the pelvis, and pelvic splanchnic nerves are associated with the sacral ventral rami. So why did they do this to us? Well, remember with the sympathetic chain, when the sympathetic chain sends off splanchnic nerves all along its length to the organs, those are just named according to which portion of the vertebral column you have. So if you had sympathetics coming off the sympathetic chain in the neck going to the thyroid gland, those would have been cervical splanchnics because you're up at the cervical sympathetic chain. Sympathetics coming off the thorax going to the esophagus would have been thoracic splanchnics. Sympathetics coming off at the lumbar level feeding into that prevertebral plexus would have been lumbar splanchnics. And now we're down at the sacral sympathetic chain. And so when the sympathetics send things over and into these organs here, because they're going to organs, they have to be splanchnics. And so they're just called sacral splanchnics. We had to have a different name for parasympathetics in this pelvic region. coming off of S2, S3, and S4, and so these are called pelvic splanchnics. Now, some of the axons coming out, these parasympathetics, some of those are actually going to stream up along the rectum or along the blood vessels to distribute to the upper rectum, the sigmoid colon, and up to the distal part of the descending colon. So they don't all just stay in the pelvis. Remember, the sacral parasympathetics also do the distal end of the GI tract, the hindgut. So here's a picture from the Red Book that just kind of wants to show you that they're not the same thing. So here, coming out at the sacral level, here's a parasympathetic preganglionic fiber that comes out the ventral ramus and then leaves the ventral ramus to go straight to the organ. It's coming out of the sacral level. There's no sympathetic preganglionics in the spinal cord down at that level. And so that is a parasympathetic fiber going straight to the organ. That's called a pelvic splanchnic. This branch off of the ventral ramus going to the organ is a pelvic splanchnic. You also have branches coming out of the sympathetic chain going to those organs, and those are called sacral splanchnics. And to make it worse, you've also got things coming out of the chain and going to the ventral ramus, and that is just a gray ramus communicans, the same as it's always been. So there's kind of 3 points here to notice, 3 points of reference: the sympathetic chain, the ventral ramus, and the organ. And so you're going to have connections between those three. So ramus to organ is a pelvic splanchnic. Chain to organ is a sacral splanchnic. Chain to ramus is a gray ramus communicans. The gray rami communicans are feeding into the sacral plexus because you need sympathetics in all of those branches going out to the lower limb, to the skin and skeletal muscle of the lower limb. That's what that connection is doing. The two sacral and pelvic branches that are going to the organs, that's the pelvic plexus. They form the pelvic plexus. So here's a summary of that pelvic plexus. There are no ganglia within the plexus itself, so there's no equivalent of the celiac ganglion complex here. But there are sympathetic postganglionic fibers that are coming from two sources, down from the prevertebral plexus, down from the aorta, in other words, and sympathetics that are coming directly off of the chain at the sacrum as sacral splanchnics. And then there are branches coming off these ventral rami at S2, 3, and 4, and those are parasympathetic preganglionics that we call pelvic splanchnics. So we're going to help you find those in Monday and Tuesday's dissection. So what happens to all of those guys? Well, it's not surprisingly, those are destined down here for the organs of the pelvis. So in a female pelvis, remember the female organs, and for reference, when you're looking at, or when I'm looking at a pelvis, the points of reference that I use, I always try to find the curvature of the sacrum posteriorly and the pubic symphysis anteriorly. It's easy to find the bones visually. And then I just know where my organs are relative to that. So we know that the bladder lies directly behind the pubic bone. If you've got a female, then the vagina and the uterus are directly behind that, and the rectum is most posterior, kind of lined up against the sacrum. Nerves going to those organs are going to be the pelvic plexus, and that includes branches that are going to descend down and innervate the erectile tissues in the pelvis itself, or in the area that we looked at last time called the perineum. Now, in a male, the same thing happens. So you're going to have sympathetics and parasympathetics forming a pelvic plexus. And a part of that, I just want to point out, a part of that, not only is it going to do the rectum and the bladder, but remember that in a male, so here's the pubic symphysis in the male here, here's the sacrum. So the bladder is here, and at the base of the bladder is the prostate gland. And so a subpart of this plexus is called the prostatic plexus. Remember that the prostate wraps around the urethra, and the urethra passes through the pelvic floor to get down to the UG diaphragm, and the urethra then gets picked up by the corpus spongiosum and becomes part of the penis. So fibers from this autonomic plexus, sympathetics and parasympathetics, drop down to those erectile tissues. And those parasympathetic fibers are what control the blood flow into the erectile tissues. And you'll be learning about that in the reproductive lectures today. So why does that matter? Because remember how fussy and sensitive these nerves are. Anytime that they play around with the prostate in treating prostate cancer or prostatic hypertension, if they disturb these nerves, since some of these axons are continuing down to the erectile tissue, you can also be disturbing the erectile process. And so you've probably seen enough commercials of erectile dysfunction to know that problems in the prostate often translate into problems with erection as well. And that's the anatomic reason for that. The autonomic nerves to the erectile tissue are part of this pelvic plexus that travels down on the surface of the prostate and follows the course of the urethra down to the erectile tissue. So you damage them up here, you damage the erectile process as well. Okay, one more thing, and that is, what is this nerve down here? Pudendal nerve. So I just want to do a quick review of this, because this is the part of the dissection that we skipped so that we could have the OBGYNs come in yesterday. So we'll have this done for Monday for you on the TA body. Most of you already have a pudendal nerve in the back, because that's the nerve that came out of the greater sciatic foramen along with the sciatic nerve and the superior and inferior gluteal nerves. But then it dropped through the lesser sciatic foramen and disappeared out of our view. And it disappeared into this horrible amount of fat that is around either side of the anal canal. So it just kind of embeds that anal canal. And that's a really good thing for passing a large amount of poop, because having a lot of fat there allows the rectum to expand, and then the fat just kind of absorbs the distension from the passing of fecal matter. But it also makes for a really unfun dissection, and that's the only part that probably matters to you right now, is that picking through fat for 3 hours to see these little branches right here, see these things called inferior rectal nerves? Those are the branches that are going to the external anal sphincter. And there's some little neurovascular bundles in there. So we're going to dissect those out on the TA body for you. And they are, you will be responsible for those on the final exam. This is the only thing on the TA body that we will do, is the stuff that we took out of that dissection. So there's a little, you'll see that there's a little box on Monday and Tuesday's checklist that is on the TA body that you'll need to know. So that's what happened to the pudendal nerve. It came off and gave off these inferior rectal nerves and then headed anteriorly and split and became the perineal nerve. And that had cutaneous branches to the external genitalia posteriorly. So those were posterior scrotal or posterior rectal nerves. And then continued forward with the UG diaphragm and ended up as the dorsal nerve of the penis or the dorsal nerve of the clitoris. So that all started out on the pudendal nerve, and then it worked its way forward and changed its name to the perineal nerve when it hit the perineum. Okay? So that boundary between when we stop calling it pudendal is after it gives off all of those inferior rectal nerves. We don't expect you to dissect back and find that, because it's a really tedious dissection. But we did that on the TA body. Okay, so this is a somatic nerve, right? It's part of that somatic plexus that we call the sacral plexus. And what does that mean? It has somatic motor, somatic sensory, and it has sympathetic fibers. But the sympathetic fibers are there to go to blood vessel of the skin, blood vessels in the skeletal muscle. The cutaneous targets, the glands, and the erector pili muscles in the skin. So pudendal nerve is a somatic nerve. It's not the nerve. Even, you know, people really want this to be the nerve of the genitalia, the nerve of erection, and it's not, because it's not innervating the erectile tissues. It's the branches of the pelvic plexus that came down that we talked about in the last couple of slides that are innervating the erectile tissues. Everybody good with that? Okay. So questions? Okay. I know we have an announcement that somebody needs to make, but do you have a question?
Just a quick one.
Yep.
Is it
In terms of you needing to identify them, yes. Okay. Good. So we got an announcement, and I just have one other thing, and that is your last peer evaluation goes up tonight, so you've got one more peer eval to do between now and midnight Monday. And then when those get released to you on Tuesday, you're going to have one more end of summary self-evaluation. So just a comment about what it was like to work with people that you loved or didn't love, what you learned from the experience, because working with people that you love and don't love is something that you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. So starting to think about that as a process and how it influences you as a learner is a really worthwhile thing to think about. Okay.
Hey guys, we just wanted to introduce ourselves again. We're this class's wellness committee, and we have a couple events coming up that we wanted to talk about, and we also just wanted to remind you guys that we're available if you need anything. If you need to talk or get connected to resources, we can also get people same-day appointments at CAPS. So definitely don't hesitate to get in touch if there's anything that you guys need.
One thing coming up is a peer support group today in MedEd 309. So feel free to stop by to lunch if you have something to share or just want to come and listen. It's a good time.
We also have Fresh Fridays going on in the student lounge. Come get some veggies. Oh, also Secret Snowflake next week. Don't forget. Leave your present on top of the person's locker. And it's totally up to you whether you want to reveal who you are or not.
Okay, I think that's it. We'll make another announcement in January about other upcoming events and just to remind you of our presence and existence.